Lord this morning. Amen. Ooh, man. Well, I was up early this morning putting the finishing touches on the message that I was going to do part 2.
Welcome to the Summit Restoration Church podcast, where hope comes alive, lives are restored, and Jesus leads the way. Let's climb higher together.
Can I just say that? I'm not telling the truth. I am not telling the truth. The Lord wants me to talk to you for a few minutes about fasting this morning. And we probably won't be here long. Probably. I said probably. I did not say we will not. Absolutely. I said probably. It's according to how you amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about fasting. Today is the first day of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Don't forget. And fasting. People tend to shy away from fast. How many of you have ever done a food fast before? A total food fast before. Okay. So it's not fun, right? Your flesh yells at you a lot. During that time, you'll be in a meeting and your belly will go roar like you're about to devour the people that are in the room with you. Fasting is not fun if you are going to deny yourself something that you really enjoy, like social media. Fasting is not a lot of fun if you're going to deny yourself something like television, music that doesn't honor God. Fasting is not fun. You know why? Because we live in a jar that enjoys all the things. We live in a jar that enjoys Twinkies and donuts. We live in a jar that enjoys our music. And we live in a jar that enjoys. And we say, you can't judge me. Don't judge me. This, that, and the other. I'm not. We're calling for a fast for a reason. Because I think sometimes with the life that we live and in the culture that we are surrounded by at this time, that everything's okay. And we just take in whatever's coming. We take in whatever pops up through our little phone. We take in whatever's coming through the news, whether it be Fox, CNN, ABC, NBC, SIN. Some of you are paying attention this morning. We take in things that are detrimental to us, a lot of times detrimental to our spirit, that nurture our flesh so good. And this is a call for 21 days of setting those things aside. All those things I just said. Wait a minute, Angel. You said we could pick and choose. I understand that. I am challenging you to put aside everything that nurtures your flesh so good. And I know we're going to have a grumpy bunch of folks in here next Sunday. But it's okay. We love y'all. Y'all going to be coming in here detoxing from caffeine and detoxing from vapes or detoxing from this or that or the other or that little round can in your back pocket or whatever it is that you're detoxing from. And we all going to come in here and love one another, right? Right? Because we have to understand that we are spirit. That is the eternal part of us. But what we take in through our flesh on a consistent basis absolutely has an effect on our spiritual hunger, on our spiritual desire. We can get so numb because what all of this works toward, all of the things that we take in through our flesh that nurtures our flesh, ends up being a spiritual appetite suppressant. We all about going to the store and getting us a natural appetite suppressant because we all want to be skinty. Everybody, come on, y'all, wake up. I told y'all I'll preach as long as the amens are coming. We will do all the things We talk about appetite suppressants in the natural, but what we don't understand is so many of the things that we nurture our flesh on a consistent basis are appetite suppressants to our spirit. We are no longer hungry for Him. We are no longer hungry like we used to be. If you can look at yourself right now and say, you know, I'm not as desperate for God as I once was, then you've been feeding off of appetite suppressants. And they have killed your spiritual hunger. It's a fun, ain't it? It's fun. It's okay, though. It's all right. Because what we need to understand is we are not flesh. We just live in a jar of flesh. We are spirit. One day, when your spirit leaves this jar, you know what it's going to do? It's not going to cry and all the things. It's going to lay over. And it ain't going to move. You can walk over and kick it. It's not going to move because I have left the building. It's just like a jacket that we put on. If my dad, who's wearing a jacket, I'm so glad y'all are here today. If my dad, who is wearing his jacket, stands up and takes his jacket off and lays it across the seat beside him, that jacket is not going to move. If it does, we all leave in the building. Amen. Amen. Why? Because he has exited his shell. He has exited what he was wearing. But what we focus on and what we feed is what we wear. And it's not the eternal part of us. It is not the eternal part of us. The eternal part of us, when we close our eyes here, we open them in the face of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one we have loved and lived for and longed for all the days of our life. And that is our eternity. This is our temporary. And yet we spend so much time focused on our temporary versus our eternal. And do not think that your temporary can eternally affect your eternal. What Hannah shared was so important to go along. I ain't got to my notes yet. We may not use them. What she shared a while ago was so important because God said, do you want more of me? Do you want more of me? Let it go. Let it go. And we think of a God that's just good and kind and loving, and He would never ask anything hard of us. But when your Father knows what's best for you, He will let you get to a place that you start to stop and think, what is going on? What has changed? What is different? And you begin to search and you begin to seek and you begin to ask. And when you begin to ask, He begins to answer, doesn't He? Has it made a difference? Hey, it's made a difference. Is that going to send her to hell? No. Is it going to impede her spiritual walk if it is something that she craves more than she craves the Father? Yes. So what are we looking for in here? What are we looking for in this 21 days of prayer? It's not to high-five your neighbor and say, I made it. This is about a personal decision that you make of the things that you will choose to put aside and say, I'm not going to just do this because that's the easy thing for me to lay aside. I'm doing this because this is the most difficult thing that I could lay aside and bring my flesh back under subjection where it needs to be so that I can hear more clearly. So that the airwaves are cleared, so that there's no interference, so that there's no disturbance, so that I can actually tune in and listen to you. And because that's what happens when we fast. This does not make you holy. Fasting does not cause you to have more favor with God. Fasting is simply a spiritual discipline that says, I am mature enough that I want more of God and less of me. And I will do what it takes to see that done. I will lay me aside, my desires, my flesh, my thing that I got, my Mountain Dew that I got to have every morning, my coffee, hallelujah. that I didn't get out this morning, that I love to sit with and nestle in the mornings. The thing that just, it's our comfort. It's our safety. We don't even realize what we do. We don't even realize. We don't even know sometimes. And we get to the place, and I've corrected on this before, and we say, if we get hungry, well, I'm hungry, and I have a right to treat anybody any way that I want to just because I'm hungry. You need to fast. You need to bring self under control. Because we never have a right to treat people a different way just because we're hungry. Okay. Now, y'all want me to go ahead and get my notes? Okay. We'll do that. This is not a ritual that earns God's favor. It's not a diet, and it's not a New Year's resolution. I know I'm not going to get amen, many amens, so I brought my own. Amen, preacher. Amen. So, this is a deliberate, I said deliberate. This is intentional. This is not, maybe I will, maybe I won't, because you won't. This is an intentional, deliberate choice to humble ourselves, redirect our focus from our physical needs, wants, and desires to the Father and earnestly seek Him. That's what this looks like. And I want to kind of explain it because maybe some of you haven't understood that or have never been taught what a fast really looks like and why we do it, okay? So I just want to give you just a few points this morning. Here's a few biblical reasons for fasting, and this is taken directly from the Scripture. Number one, to express dependence on God and humble ourselves. Number one, to express dependence on God and to humble ourselves. The Word tells us in Psalm 35, David was praying for his friends, and he humbled himself down, and he said, I put on sackcloth and ashes when my friends were hurting, and I prayed for them. That's Psalm 35, verse 13. In 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 27, 28, and 29, Ahab, wicked king Ahab, influenced by his wicked wife Jezebel, was one of the most wicked kings in the nation of Israel. And the Bible tells us in 1 Kings 21, verse 27, excuse me, verse 25 is where I'm going to start. For there was no one who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord as did Ahab. That's pretty big words. Nobody was as wicked as Ahab, incited by his wife Jezebel. Verse 26, he did very abominably in going after idols, as had the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the Israelites. When Ahab heard the words of Elijah that he was about to be judged, Elijah had come to him, the prophet had come and said, you're about to be judged. When he heard those words of Elijah, he tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his flesh, fasted, lay in sackcloth, and went quietly. Look at the very next verse. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, the one who had just came and told Ahab, it's bad. You're going down. The one who had just given him that word. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite saying, do you see how Ahab humbles himself before me? Because he humbles himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his lifetime. Wow. He said it'll come in his son's lifetime. But a wicked king who chose to humble himself. See, fasting is a sign of humility. I'm not my own king. You are my king. I'm not my own God. You are my God. That was willing to humble himself. Even a wicked king like this, God said, I'll not let this that I've spoken over appear and happen in his lifetime. It'll happen after he's gone. He'll never see it. He didn't lift the curse. He didn't remove it. But he said, because of his humility before me in sackcloth and ashes and fasting, he said, I'll remove it out of his lifetime. Wow. And we say God's not kind. Number two, to seek God's guidance, direction, and wisdom. The early church would fast. When they had to make big decisions, Angel, you've been reading and studying in the book of Acts. When they had to make decisions, there was prayer and fasting that went on. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, "Separate now for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, verse 3, after fasting and praying, they put their hands on them and sent them away. Fasting and prayer goes together. It's a combination. It's the dynamic duo. And so if you've never fasted before, or if you've never done a food fast before, I encourage you to jump in with both feet today. Start today. There is something about it when we do it for the right reason and the right purpose, not just because our neighbor's doing it, not just because somebody else is doing it. As a church, we have called for fasting and prayer. And that's scriptural too, in the book of Joel, in the book of Isaiah, in all the books of the prophets. There was a time for fasting and prayer that they would call for the people to enter into a time to fast. And it's biblical. So that's what we're doing. We're just not telling you necessarily have to fast five meals a day. Who eats five meals a day? Don't even, Colby. I knew you was going to raise your hand. I knew you would. So it's not about saying, well, I'm going to do this. It's about coming under, humbling yourself under leadership, for one, and humbling yourself before God and saying, hey, my church family is taking part in this. I'm taking part in this, and I'm going to see what you want to say to me over the next 21 days. And it's not just about the 21 days. It's about what does the Lord want to speak to you for the next year, for the next 5 years, for the next 10 years. You can tune in and hear his voice when you are willing to put things aside and humble yourself before him. Amen? Amen. Number three, to repent, to mourn over sin, and to return to God. Fasting is about repentance, mourning and grieving over sin and returning to God. Fasting often accompanies heartfelt repentance and a cry for mercy. You'll find when you begin to fast and you're putting things aside and the Lord begins to lay his finger on things in your life, there is a brokenness in you over it that you didn't have before. There is something on the inside that is urgent and says, I want to deal with this right now. I want to get rid of this right now. There's not any numbness anymore. There's not a callousness anymore. It removes all of that away so that when the Lord deals with you, you can respond and reply immediately to what he's saying. Deal with that thing. Get it out of the way so that you can move into your next, because there's things in you right now, in all of us, that cannot go into your next season. And the Lord sees it. The Lord knows it. But when we are not willing to humble ourselves before him, fast and pray and seek his face, we don't know what it is. And then we get in the next season and nothing works and we blame God. I'm preaching better than y'all letting on. So to repent, to mourn over sin, and return to God. In the scripture, it tells us in Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore also now says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored. Is that not beautiful? That is beautiful to me. And this is Old Testament, verse 13. Rend your heart, not your garment, and return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And he revokes his sentence of evil when his conditions are met. Wow. Ahab saw it happen, and he was a wicked king. So to repent, mourn over sin, and return to God. Another reason for fasting is to intensify your prayer life and see breakthrough in crisis situations. To intensify your prayer life and see breakthrough in crisis situations, in deliverance, or in impossible situations. Some of us are up against some impossible situations this morning. In a room this size, probably someone is. Whether it's a diagnosis, whether it's a family situation, whether it's a job situation, we are up against something that seems impossible. Well, prayer and fasting helps you intensify your prayer life so that your radar is catching everything the Lord is sending out. Right? To repent, mourn over sin, and return to God, or this one, to intensify prayer and seek breakthrough in crisis. So in Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, it says this, then I proclaimed a fast. Yesterday, Lando talked about this. Ezra called the people together. They were trying to get the scriptures together. They were trying to get the people together to get back into Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been destroyed. They had been exiled for years. And Ezra was bringing all the people together. And he was accounting for some of every tribe except the tribe of Levi. And he sent back out and he said, we need some Levites here. We got to have Levites to run the worship and the temple when we get everything rebuilt, when we get the walls rebuilt. So they were in this process. And in verse 21, it says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him. We want to seek from them. We want to pick up the phone and call our bosom buddy, and we want to call our BFF, and we want to call our pastor, and we want to seek from them. But the Bible says that he seeks from him, to seek from him a straight and right way for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. Ezra said, we need to know the best way to get back into Jerusalem in the way that we should get back into Jerusalem, and God is the only one with the plan. Follow? It's important. It's very important. There are things, yes, I'm not against counsel. Yes, the Bible talks about in the presence of many counselors, there's safety. I understand all of that. But there are times in your life that the only one that can give you the right answer is your Father. And we need to be able, we need to be people that's not just when a church calls a fast, but we need to live a fasting lifestyle. If God says, put that aside today, it's an immediate, yes, sir. It's an immediate, yes, I will put that aside. Because usually when we are willing to put something aside like that, he has something else to give us in place of that. But we so busy fighting over, I love it, I want it, I want you to keep it. It is mine. I'm so comfortable. And we don't want to give things up. We don't want to live. We don't want to fast that thing, and we don't want to put it aside because we're afraid we're going to be without comfort, and we can't even see what God is trying to get to us, in us, and through us. Come on, church. I know expectancy is more fun. I stand on chairs and stuff, but this is what gets us to the place that we can really begin to expect again, that our faith can grow again, that we get rid of the clutter again, and we get rid of the junk again, and we can hear him clearly and be challenged by his presence and by his spirit. Amen? Amen. The next one is to prepare for spiritual battles and ministry. To prepare for spiritual battles and ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and nights. Is no joke. You ever try to fast for a day? And it's like, oh, the Lord spoke to me, and it's okay to have that Twinkie. Or the Lord spoke to me and it's okay to have that slice of an apple. I mean, you know, Jesus went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and nights. And at the end of his fast, the tempter came when he was weak, when he was empty physically. But in those 40 days and nights, he had spent time with his Father. He had just come up out of the Jordan River where his Father spoke over him his identity. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then he goes into the wilderness and he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. And the tempter comes and you know what he attacks? You know what the tempter attacks? His identity. If you're really the Son of God, That's the very first thing he went for was his hunger. Turn this stone into bread. But the fact of the matter is, had Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, had he not been willing to put flesh aside for 40 days and 40 nights, would he have been able to withstand the temptation that came? We don't think thoughts like that. It's Jesus. That's sacrilege. He fasted for a reason. And we've talked about this before. I heard Bishop say this years ago. If you go back and you read Matthew 4, you read down to the end, it says the tempter left him for a while, right? So they battled with the temptation. There was three major temptations there, and it said the tempter left him, okay? So fast forward to the time that Jesus is getting ready to be crucified with me. Look. Fast forward to the time that Jesus is getting ready to be crucified, and about a chapter before, he said, I came to die for all of y'all. And then you get into the next couple of chapters where Jesus enters into the garden. Jesus enters into the garden to pray and begins to speak to his Father and say things like, if there is any other way. What was he thinking? Two chapters before, he said, I came to die. I came to die as a sacrifice. Do you know what he was thinking? He was thinking back in Matthew chapter 4 where Satan had said, if you will bow down to me, I'll just give it all back to you. Good. Y'all ain't. Amen. Y'all too holy. That's why Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, so that he could meet the tempter, not of flesh, but of spirit. So he prepared for that battle. He prepared for that so that he would not fall to the temptation, because although he was fully God, he was fully man. That's what makes the fact that he chose never to sin an enabling for us, so that we don't have to choose sin. Because he was all God and he was all man. So if Jesus fasted, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it. Then Jesus was led, guided by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 4, 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led, guided by the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted, tested, and tried by the devil. And he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights. And later he was hungry, because he was what? Man. All God, all man. Y'all listening? This is important. And we don't teach things like this because it actually is a discipline, and nobody likes to discipline themselves anymore. Nobody likes to get to work on time. Nobody likes to do their job. Everybody's looking for an excuse to get by. Everybody's looking for an excuse to squeak under. Everybody's looking for an excuse. It ain't my fault. It's my parents' fault. It's my grandparents' fault. Grow up.
Come on.
Come on with that. Come on.
It's time that we become people that represent him well. Stop stealing pens from work.
Give me that.
I just said a mouthful. It's one thing to forget, stick a pen in your pocket. It's another thing to go in there and say, what's in the cabinet today? I'm going to take them all. I think I need one of each. And they go home with you. That's called stealing. Stop. Those things matter. It's the person that nobody else sees that the Lord sees. It's the person that wants to be a person of integrity. You want people to believe what you say? Be a person of integrity when nobody can see you but the Father. I don't know who I got on that. That's free. So that's free for somebody. So, the next thing is to pursue a deeper intimacy with God. to pursue a deeper intimacy with God. You say, I have trouble. I have trouble. I get my Bible out. I don't understand. I try to write stuff down. I don't get it. Fasting is an open doorway into a deeper intimacy with the Father. It gets you past yourself. It gets you past what you want. It gets you past what you think. It gets you past your opinion. It gets you past your notion. It gets you past your hunger. It gets you past all those things, and it leaves you there before the Lord, raw, naked, open, and humble, and saying, God, if you don't feed me, I am not going to be fed. If I can't see you in a way, just like Lando was talking about this morning, if I can't see you more clearly than I've ever seen you before, I don't want my vision to be blurry for the rest of my life. I want to know you. I don't want to just sit and listen to people who know you. I want to know you for myself. I want to have a relationship with you for myself. I want to grow deeper. I want to be able to understand Scripture the same way that they understand Scripture. I want to know how to know you better. That's one thing that fasting will do. It will move those things out of the way so that you can grow deeper in your intimacy with Him, so that you can actually experience face-to-face, coram Deo, with Jesus. Come on, church. And when we walk out of those places, that's when people look at us and they see something different on us. They see something different on us. They're like, man, what? I watched you walk through this thing and you didn't even seem upset. You didn't even cry. You weren't tore up like everybody else was. None of us got our raise, but you said, it's okay because they ain't my source. I'm okay. How did you do that? It comes from being in deep, intimate places with the Father. And fasting is an open doorway to this. In Matthew chapter 6. I'm almost done. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Jesus is talking. We're going to grab verse 1 first, Lando, if you don't mind. Can you go back to verse 1? I know I didn't put any scriptures in today because the Lord didn't give me time, so it's okay. But they're so gifted back there on that thing. Look at this. These are red letters in your Bible if you have a red letter edition. Jesus is talking, take care not to do your good deeds publicly or before men in order to be seen by them. Otherwise, I didn't write this. You will have no reward reserved for and awaiting you with and from your Father who is in heaven. If you do your stuff to be seen by people and you get an attaboy, there's your reward. I'm going to say that one more time. If you fast and you get let it out there for the whole world to know, I'm suffering for Jesus. Y'all saints, pray. I've not had my bowl of Cheerios today, and I'm suffering for Jesus. And somebody says, oh, I'm praying. Good job. They do all these little things. There's your reward. This word says, if you do it to be seen by people, you will have no reward from the Father. You get your reward from men. We're going to get on down to it just a minute. And Jesus goes on to say, when you give, when you pray, not if. When. There's three things. There's three spiritual disciplines that Jesus addresses right here in these verses between verse 1 and verse 16. For time's sake, I'm not going to read them all. He addresses three things. When you give, when you pray, and the third thing is when you fast. It's all supposed to be done a certain way, but it's all supposed to be done. It's not if you like it, if you feel good about it, if you get a, oh, yes, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. He says when. So as part of a growing, maturing Christian, we should be participating in all three things. Prayer, giving, and fasting. Look at verse 16. He says, and whenever you are fasting, do not look gloomy. That's hard. That's hard. When they're all sitting around you at the office and they eating them bagels with that seasoning on it and that cream cheese piled up so thick, and you're going, I just want to just, can I just lick the stuff off the top of it? I mean, he says, do not look gloomy and sour and dreary like the hypocrites. Because what would happen is the hypocrites would let everybody know they were fasting. They twist up their faces. And, that's what the hypocrites do. He said, don't do that. For they put on a dismal countenance that their fasting may be apparent to and seen by who?
Men.
Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full already, because somebody saw them. Verse 17. But when you fast, perfume your head and wash your face. And the next verse, verse 18, so that your fasting may not be noticed by men, but by your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. I'm just reading the Bible. I'm just reading the Bible. So we have to understand these are principles, these are disciplines that we live by. And if we choose not to live by it, we can't expect to grow the way the Lord wants us to grow, the way we're made to grow, the way we are intended to grow. We can't grow deeper. We can't get further. We can't do all the things that we want to see accomplished in our lives as Christians because we're not doing the disciplines. We're not praying, giving, fasting. We're not submitting ourselves to Him and giving Him our yes and saying no to our flesh for a season. Listen, biblical fasting always pairs with prayer, humility, and a kingdom-focused purpose. It's always about those things. Prayer, humility, and a kingdom-focused purpose. Never a religious show or a diet or whatever. It's not about any of that. It's not required for salvation. It is not a legalistic rule. But Scripture shows it as a normal, powerful practice for believers who hunger for more of God. Is that you? Are you hungry this morning? Are you hungry this morning for more of Him? See, our 21 days of prayer, there's so many things we could pray about. And I'm closing right now. So if y'all want to get me some music going back there, we don't even have to turn out the lights today. But our leadership in this country needs prayer. Whether you are for, against, doesn't matter. Our leadership needs prayer. We're commanded in the Scriptures to pray for our leaders. We're commanded to. Our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world need prayer. The persecuted church right now, I was pulling up statistics this morning. I forgot to bring all of them with me. But I remember one, there was like 470 something people known that gave their life because they're a Christian last year. This building will hold about 100, 120 if we're elbow to elbow. 4,470 something people died just because they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The persecuted church around the world. Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world because we believe in one God. And they are your brothers and your sisters that are in prison this morning praying for us. Our local government needs prayer. Our grassroots government. Our commissioners, our city council members, the people that have the say in the ordinances of our communities, they need prayer. We need a Holy Spirit invasion in our government from grassroots all the way to the White House. We need a Holy Spirit invasion, a return of compassion, a return of mercy, a return of righteousness. We need the Holy Spirit to move. We need to pray for our coworker. Do they know Jesus? If they don't know Jesus, they will not go to heaven. And you are the one placed beside them with the answer. Your family needs prayer. Every part of your family needs prayer. We need to be covering our family in prayer every single day. Your church family needs prayer. The people in this house right now, in this room, we need prayer. Different situations, different circumstances, different things that we're walking through, different things that we're facing that we may be afraid of, different things going on. We need prayer. Your church leadership needs prayer. We need wisdom. We need humility in our hearts like never before. We need to know which way the Lord leads and which way the Lord guides and which way the Lord directs. We need your prayers. We don't just wake up in the morning automatically knowing everything that we're supposed to do. We miss phone calls that we should have made. We miss visitations or check-ins that we should have done. We're human, and we need prayer. All of our church leadership does. Real prayer. Real intercession. And you say, well, I don't know how to pray. Then it's time for a fast. I've used this illustration before, and I'm going to use it one more time. This operates off of a frequency, this microphone. It doesn't have a cord. So it operates off of a frequency that's sent by a transmitter. And I think this transmitter is back here at the back. So you see, we got a Wi-Fi over there, and we got microphone transmitter bases set up in this black cabinet over here. And that transmitter is plugged into the sound system. So it's set on a frequency, and this microphone is set to the same frequency. This pack that I have on my back is a wireless microphone set on a frequency to the base that is situated somewhere else. But if I take this microphone and I throw it on the ground, I kick it around a little bit, or I use it for a very long time, oftentimes the frequency gets off. And so then when you turn the microphone on, there's either feedback, or it drops. We'll be talking. Sometimes this mic does it. If we're talking in this mic, you'll find that you miss the sound. It'll go out every once in a while. That's because the frequency is off just a little. So what is sending from the bass does not match what's received in the microphone. So what fasting does is reset the frequency. It resets the frequency because from where it's being sent from our Father, it resets our frequency so that we can hear clearly, see clearly, get a clear vision and a clear picture of Him again. That's what fasting does. That's why flesh hates it. Fasting clears all of our airways and it helps us die to self, to flesh, to opinions, and to ideas, our ideas. And it's time. You know, I've not really pushed in the past specifically. We'll say we're going to fast and however you want to fast, but we've kind of been a little bit more specific this time. We want you to do some type of a food fast, whether it's a Daniel fast. If you have to take medication and things of that nature, we understand all of that. We're not asking anybody to do something that's going to, if you have to take medicine, I was telling our leadership team this morning, and you can't take it on an empty stomach, eat a cracker. We're not talking about things like that. We are talking about, though, doing a food fast, putting things aside, pushing flesh back, and say, I want to clear every bit of the airwaves so that I can hear, I can receive what is being sent. We're calling for a social media fast because that will definitely junk up your airwaves. That'll just junk it up. If you wake up in the morning and that's the first thing that hits your eyes, you're tired from before you get out of bed. Is that the truth or is that the truth? And everybody can do that. That ain't gonna hurt your medical pill you gotta take. I gotta take my medicine with my Facebook. It's serious. We kind of try to joke a little to make it a little lighter so you can take it in, but it's serious. I am excited to see what's going to happen, and the words that you're going to receive as a people just from your time with the Lord. I am excited to see what's going to be the result of us all as a family pushing flesh aside and saying, speak. We're listening. We're listening. Amen? And some of you are going to sit there and say, I ain't doing that. I'm too mature. That's manure, but it's... Sorry. If you're too mature to fast, man. So let's do this together. And you ain't got to tell nobody what you're doing, but you can encourage one another. Hang in there. Hang in there. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, we're going to pray together. This is not just about praying, like Landon said, at 6 o'clock. This is about, if you say lunch is my favorite meal of the day and that's what I'm giving up, then at your lunchtime, spend time with the Father. It's not just about giving something up without filling that space. You're going to have lots more time than what you thought you did when you get off social media for 21 days. You'll be amazed. Spend that time with the Father. Find a place, make a room, carve out something. And make time with him. Clear it up so he can speak and you can receive it. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we love you this morning.
Thanks for joining us today at Summer Restoration Church. Stay encouraged, stay connected, and let's keep climbing higher together. See you next time. Thank you.